This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
When you're ready to ride Metro, we want you to know we're ready for you. Here are just a few of the people at Metro to tell you how we're doing our part to keep riders safe.
We're cleaning like never before, with hospital-grade cleaning.
You'll find hand sanitizer stations all over the Metro.
No mask. No Metro. Need one? We have a few extras.
At Metro, we're doing our part to keep the D.C. area moving. Find out more at WMATA.com/doingourpart.
Hey, everybody. It's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Great, great, great episode today. We've got my very friendly friend, Amir Kay. If you don't know Amir Kay, well, then you aren't filling your life with enough funny. This guy's one of the funniest dudes I know. I've known Amir since we both pretty much started stand-up comedy. He was running a show at the Ha Ha Comedy Club in North Hollywood, California. And he came from OC doing real estate. He's an Iranian, of the Iranian descent. And just one of the most genuinely funny dudes I know. His impressions, his accents, his act-outs. I'm a big act-out guy. I love doing characters in my stand-up, you know, of the people that I've met that pertain to the story I'm telling, and Amir is so good at that. He's so likable on stage, and it's cool when you've got a buddy that you kind of started with and you guys are still jamming. We've gotten to see each other have our respective successes, and it's really cool, and we have a lot of fun on this episode, in particular reminiscing about the first gig that we headlined together. We co-headlined a weekend in Billings, Montana. And some of the stories we share from that trip are some of my favorite stories of all time. So you're gonna really, really gonna love this episode. Follow Amir on Twitter at Amir Comedy, AMIR Comedy, and all his tour dates are on his website, AmirComedy.com. He opens for Maz Jobani all over the world, and has just started headlining himself because of appearances in films like Argo and The Pyramid, which just came out. He was one of the stars of MTV's Jerks with Cameras, and he's blowing up. So we got him before he blows up, before he never talks to us again. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. All our tour dates are at BradWilliamsComedy.com and AdamRayTV.com. Brad Williams will be at the Cincinnati Funny Bone in Cincinnati, Ohio, February 5th through the 7th. Tickets at funnybone.com. I, of course, am embarking on a month-long tour with Adam Devine, February 10th through March 7th. Getting really pumped for that. We're going all over the country: Seattle, Portland, New York, Boston, Philly, Orlando, Nashville, Austin. Google Adam Devine tour dates for those cities and dates, and get your tickets and come see us. And, of course, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Comment on iTunes, rate the podcast, give it a 5-star rating. That helps us climb the charts. Get your About Last Night merchandise at estoymerchandise.com, estoymerchandise.com. Got some new shirts coming in the next couple weeks. You guys are really going to dig. So pick up a shirt, support the podcast, show your friends and family that you love what you listen to by wearing the shirt of the podcast that you listen to. Anyway, now that the tour dates are out of the way, the Twitter handles are in your face, the merch info has been laid out, ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and enjoy a hilarious episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very funny Amir Kay.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast. It's about last night.
Yeah, we can do it. Come on.
Do you think Desperate Housewives with midgets?
Yeah, because...
if you want, put them on and see what happens. If you like hearing your voice. Really? No? Do you not?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Can you hear it? You good?
I can hear it, bro.
You can take the mic out. You can do whatever you want with that thing.
I can take the mic out?
Yeah.
Cool. Do you mind if I do five over there?
Yeah.
Do a quick one.
You're always on.
No, you know what? Fuck this. Yeah, dude. I want to do like a natural speaking voice.
All right.
You
know? Is that your real voice? You did. When did you even start doing like or realize that you could mimic people or just like accents or anything like that?
Dude, you know, I thought about that a lot, and I realized that it's from when I came here as a kid, being like a like from Iran, coming here. Oh, yeah. I learned English by fucking mimicking people. You know what
I mean? Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, bro. Wait. Yeah, bro. I'm fucking saying. Like my best Adam Ray. Yeah, bro. I'm fucking.
I've been waiting to hear a good one, man. The closest
I've
heard
they're
is.
They're not
like,
that good. It's just Tony Danza.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People just. Or they heighten. They go like, I'm Adam Ray.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Well, that's just like a caricature of like what I do of like
right,
other
right,
people.
Right, sure.
All right. So who was the first thing you mimicked?
No, I think just like learning because I came here like when I was fucking young, you know?
How young?
I was like, was it 86? So yeah, I was 4 years old, 5 years old.
Jesus.
Like,
mm-hmm.
And
she's looking around, being like, "Hey."
No, so I didn't speak English. My mom didn't speak English. You know, like she's just learning. My dad had been here before.
So
but
you're
like,
walking around talking like how?
Dude, no, I was fucking Iranian, so I speak Farsi, and then like, I had to learn. I was like watching the kids, and I was like, "Oh, how are you today? How are you?"
It's just really overcompensating.
Yeah, yeah. How are you? Enunciating way too much.
So yeah, so you're almost like a caricature of an American trying to speak English, just over enunciating like every.
Man, fuck you, bro.
Hey, Amir, you're a character, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like, tighten this fucking thing, man. Come on.
Just push the mic back a little bit.
Oh, okay. Like, gotcha. There you go. There you go, yeah. Dude. It's my first time, bro.
Sure. First podcast.
Thanks for having me on this
dude,
podcast.
Great,
what is
Amir
this, K. A pipeline?
Yeah. Amir K, everybody. Amir K.
There it is.
Wait, so you came to the States when you were five?
I did, yeah. So
what's comedy like in Iran?
They don't really have it, bro. It's pretty much this. Really? Get into jail. I don't know. I don't think they have.
It's not Iranian Seinfeld?
I don't know, bro. I mean, I'm sure there's like funny dudes, and I don't really keep up with it that much. Like, what's happening?
Right.
Like, as far as the comedy scene's concerned. Right.
What? You don't keep up with the scene?
I don't know what open mics are happening in fucking Esfahan.
I mean, yeah, they're the comedy cave is an actual cave.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nuts.
Brad, did I say fuck you yet?
Oh, okay. As many as I can.
Thanks for having me over.
No worries. That's what I do to my guests.
I'm scared to get shit on.
I invite them into my friend's house, and then I just insult them the entire time.
The ultimate host.
Yeah. It's fun.
Have we started yet?
Yeah.
We're going. Okay, so then when did you feel like your English was like spot on?
You know, it's funny. I don't even remember that. You know what I mean? I just remember coming and then learning, like watching the kids and shit. And like, I was horrified, dude. I didn't speak English. And it was like, imagine coming when you're like four or five.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
From a different world and not knowing what's happening, dude. And then they just put you there, like, this is your school now. Like, you know, going to fucking kindergarten.
Yeah.
And just like these kids, like they're just talking. I'm like, oh.
And even and that's the prime age for a kid to be like, that's different.
Yeah.
Why is that different?
Yeah, right. But I didn't know any better, you know? So I don't even, dude, it's so weird because I just remember, you know.
You remember it vividly, don't you?
Just like.
Oh, shit.
I just lost my shit. I was like, that was the moment. No, but
I was like, can we play kickball? Like, yeah, he says it weird.
He says it's weird. Fuck him, man. No, I remember, dude, I remember one thing vividly is I was like, because I remember I was like a Bruce Lee fan when I was a kid, and awesome. I remember my cousins mm-hmm. were huge Bruce Lee fans in Iran. So like I came and I thought like I saw Asian people for the first time, and I thought they all knew karate, dude. Oh. I know this is going to make me sound horrible,
but
dude.
That's just how you were, again, man.
Yeah.
People have their stereotypes.
Dude, I'm telling you, I was a 5-year-old fucking kid. I didn't know any better, and I'm like at the playground. I'm like, dude, don't fuck with this kid. He knows karate. I didn't know.
He doesn't know. He's just wearing a Hello Kitty backpack, but he's Asian.
I love that you had the awareness even at a five.
Yeah,
as a 5-year-old,
like, dude, don't look at him. All right, bro, you're next. You're next on the swings. Don't worry.
Don't fly out of a tree, Chang.
Yeah,
did kids have any questions for you? Like when you showed up, did they have any stupid questions that they asked you?
I don't remember that. I really don't. I don't mm-hmm. remember, like,
I don't think they're well cultured enough.
I don't think they even knew. They were just
right.
Like, all right, this is this kid. Because, like,
like, why does he have a beard?
Think about kindergarten. You're coming, and back then it wasn't like pre fucking school. We didn't
right.
have that shit. It was just like, you go to kindergarten. You know, you go at 5 and you're in kindergarten.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it was like, I think we were all just like out of the house for the first time. So, you know, imagine, like, you grew up in your fucking parents' house and stuff, and then, like, you know, you interacted with some kids maybe. But like, so, you didn't know what, you know, what the fucking school was. So
same,
you just thought.
Same for them, right? Your parents? I mean, they were just like.
No, my dad, like I said, he had been here before. Like, he went to school here and shit. So he went back to Iran, met my mom and married her. And then they came out together.
Oh, shit.
And then he brought us out after the revolution happened in Iran. And
Such a weird sentence to say. That, oh, yeah, we left after the revolution.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like such a gnarly. I mean, in my mind, I can't even compute that that should happen in my life. And it's like. Mm-hmm.
Can you, for our listeners who don't know what that was?
Like well,
that.
The revolution, yeah, it was like when the Ayatollah Khomeini took over Iran, you know, and like it just shit got crazy when they oisted the Shah out of there. I mean, the movie Argo, I don't know if you've seen it.
Dude, yeah, that you got to be in.
You know, I didn't want to say that. It's like, hey, yeah, man. If you blink, you missed it, guys. So don't fucking go.
Yeah, but somebody told me a great story about it, about you, because your scene was chunkier, but
yeah,
it just got cut
totally.
Down as things do.
Yeah,
but you got, but you improvised a lot, I heard, with Affleck and made him laugh and shit.
Oh, yeah, it was fun, dude. Like, we were doing the scene. I was like, it's Ben Affleck?
Oh, because oh, you were yeah. checking the passport.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, is Matt Damon traveling with you? Bro, I was just fucking around with the,
so
other,
awesome.
The rest of the cast and stuff. It was fun, dude.
But like, that's awesome that you even had the balls to do that, because I'm sure a lot of guys, myself included, if I was in that situation.
Oh, no, I didn't do it to him, dude.
Oh,
I didn't
do
it to him, because, I mean, dude, you can't do that in a scene with a fucking time and money, dude. I'm like, in a scene, they're like, all right,
the
dude, another
stakes are
so
take. High in that scene.
Yeah, mm-hmm. dude. I'm like, eh, I do stand-up at Laugh Factory. Would you guys? I couldn't do that. But with the
tickets.
Other, like, in-between takes, I'd mm-hmm. fuck with them and be like, yo, if I'm going to do this, like, to, you know, to the other.
Of course. Yeah,
the cast and shit. It was so funny, dude. But we'd have a good time there.
So that movie is pretty. What's the word I'm looking for? It shows that what was happening pretty accurately.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah, you could say that. I mean, it's. I mean, you could critique any movie, but yeah, I think they did a good
job. And when we come back, we're going to critique Air Bud 7.
Yeah, we go for
dog. Was his leg missing? What, didn't he lose a leg that month?
I think
the
that
real
dog did.
Was a stunt dog hockey player.
Yeah.
Wait, what movie was his leg missing in?
I don't know. I think I fucking heard that he lost
Air Bud
the leg.
Cripple?
Guys, don't call me on this. I heard he lost the leg, like, for some I don't know what happened, but.
In one of the movies?
Maybe it was a hoax back in the day. I don't know.
An urban legend?
Hey, is this just in? Macaulay Culkin's dead again.
Yeah, Jesus. Do you read those things when you see that?
Dude, you know what's funny is like I do scroll through and I think it's all like what is it called? Fucking clickbait or some shit. You know,
like, oh,
you,
like yeah,
they like gonna, go like hey, it's like a story. Like you'll see whatever happens next, you won't believe.
So, I fall for those
all the time.
All the
I'm
time.
Like, what did he do next?
Yeah, and it's always the dumbest headlines. Like, oh, Kylie Jenner, you won't believe the scandalous outfit she dared to wear outside. And then you click on, it's like it's just a dress.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Fuck, they got me again.
Totally.
Oh, but it doesn't take you to spam. It's yeah, it takes you to the actual.
Well, I don't
story.
Know, but I think it's like the you know they pay for the advertising shit to pop up. So when you click on it, it's going to be a little bullshit story.
Oh,
but then
yeah.
there's all these ads that pop up. They,
and they're thinking
they hope,
maybe you'll see one of them.
They
and
hope
like
you
it.
Click on it. You know, you gotta like close them out or whatever. I watch a lot of porn, guys. What's
do you really?
Air Bud dog has leg amputated,
dude? Right? You looked it up?
Yeah, in 1997.
Exactly.
This, I feel like we need to play some Sarah McLachlan and have you know turn the
that
candles down
for real, dude. The actual dog got
how
cancer and then fucking got his leg cut off.
Well, how are we supposed to make it in this business if the Air Bud dog loses a damn
It just shows
leg?
You anything can happen to anybody.
Me and him
just
went out for the same role like a couple years ago, and that motherfucker beat
for
my
a Petco
ass.
Commercial.
Yeah, for a Petco.
Yeah, yeah. Good night, everybody.
I couldn't think fast enough, man. I'm drunk. Fuck both.
Have you been drinking?
Little, I had a couple drinks.
Good, man. We can have some more. We got some booze behind us. You want
yeah,
one?
Yeah. We'll take a couple
okay.
drinks.
Amir, we first met.
Man, at the Ha Ha, bro.
At the Ha Ha, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that shit.
You were how soon into comedy had you just become? Because you just left the real estate.
I was brand new. Yeah, yeah, I was brand new. I remember you guys would come around, and I was like, oh, these guys are fucking doing it, man.
And I was only like, I think, 2 or 3 years in.
Yeah, but you were legit. You were like cool because they respected you there, and it was like, you know, I was like, oh, they're like, oh, Adam Ray's here, you know? I was like, I think it's Eric Allegri or something.
Right.
Adam's here. And I go, oh, well, he must be a fucking dope dude.
Eric was the fucking, dude, he
ran the
shit. I owe so mm-hmm. much to him because, like, I was doing crap open mics, but like that always had people that weren't open mics those shows. He ran like 4 out of the 5 nights there, right?
Yeah, I remember you coming in. That's what I would do. I'd go like fucking when
you
I
were
started
working for the Ha.
I pretty much yeah, I was working kind of for free, like I just to get stage time.
Yeah,
and
which is smart.
I wouldn't have to pay for the open mic if I did phone calls and shit like that.
So much work, by the way. People
wow.
don't realize.
Oh,
the
dude,
amount,
I'd be there from like 5 to 2 a.m. Dude, like I mean,
no shit.
And then I'd like dip out to do set, you know, like open mics and stuff. But mm-hmm. I was there, dude. Like I'd get there at like 5 or 6 and do phone calls to get people to
cold
come to
calling
show.
People's right.
Yeah, just giving people tickets and shit like that.
All
and
to save $20 on.
I didn't have it at
on
the time, man.
Your open mic set. Yeah, yeah.
Like $25 a week or some shit. Like
Jesus.
That's what it was saved.
Wow.
But at the same time, it was stage time too, because it wasn't like you can just go anywhere. You know what I mean? And like, because it wasn't only the open mic. It was if I got, I used to go out on Lancashire Boulevard and like get people bark, basically, yeah. like peddle tickets to get people to come to the show.
You told me you do that on Hollywood Boulevard too, right?
Yeah, I did that mm-hmm. for my own show at the Comedy Store. Yeah. That's what. Yeah, that happened.
Fuck, dude. Because before you, I met you at the Haha. You were in real estate.
Yeah.
It's fucking bananas, dude.
That story, man.
And doing well, I imagine, because you're a really personal well. Guy. So, you're a charming dude. You could probably sell some shit, right?
It wasn't actually real estate. It was real estate appraisal. So okay. like when the market was crazy and everyone's refinancing and shit like that, all these loan officers. In order to get the loan to go through, you need an appraisal. Mm-hmm. So I had worked with one of my best friends at the time when I was at UCLA. You were at SC?
Yeah, dude.
You cacks. Yeah, I don't even care. Fuck
you. Got two Trojans in the room right now.
Yeah. Oh, you're a Trojan
I'm a Trojan
right
too, man.
Dude, that's fucking great, man. You guys are great condoms. Listen. Like, come on.
Get out, everybody.
Hacky joker. That's the best I had, man.
Okay, it's okay. It's late. It's fine.
So I was at UCLA, dude, and all my buddies back home were making money. It was like 04, you know, yeah. when I graduated, mm-hmm. and fuck, everybody's killing. Like, my buddy didn't even go to college, and he's got like two Porsches in the garage. He's got a $500,000 house in Long Beach, you know? What like, as like fuck? A 20 fucking 2-year-old. And his dad owned the appraisal company that's like one of, like, that became one of the biggest appraisal companies in California. And he owned it. And he's like, dude, Amir, you got to come fucking. He was one of my best friends. He's like, dude, come. You live with me, dude. We'll fucking get you in the office. You're good. You know, you're good at sale. You know, getting marketing the yeah, shit mm-hmm. and going out and getting us some more appraisal business. So I did that. And I did it for a year. And it was a very small office. It was like 8 of us. And then I, after a year, I was like, dude, I can kind of do this on my own. Like, this ain't that hard. And I kind of left, you know, with, you know, respectfully. I was like, yeah. Thank you guys for teaching me all this shit. But
you didn't pull a fucking Tom Cruise, Jerry Maguire.
No. I wasn't like, everybody's going with me. Because like, yeah. shit was getting like, everybody was just making crazy money. And then I was like, dude, I can do it on my own and just like make way more money. So I did. I broke off. And then my brother was working at the office too at the yeah. same time. So like, he kind of was up in LA doing it. And we had this company called Appraisal Access, which my brother still has. And we operated under the same name. But like different sex, you know, of the comp. Like I was in mm-hmm. Orange County and he was up here. So, yeah, I was just doing really well, dude. Like 10, 15, 20 grand a month, like easy fucking just
what would
killing
a, like,
it,
typical man. Phone call be? Like, what are you like?
It wasn't a phone call. It was like we'd get orders and we'd establish relationships over the years because, like, the first company I worked at, they all had like, you know, lower level dudes working at their company. Yeah. So they all broke off to start their own loan company. Gotcha. So they were like, yo, when they broke off, they would come to me. That broke off of the company that I had started.
Yeah.
So they would come to me because we had relationships and shit already worked out. And
how are you making $20,000 a month thinking, I want to be a stand-up comic?
Yeah.
No. Well, I always had that in the back of my head. And I'll tell you what really? Happened when, like, I, you know, I did stand-up, like, a couple times when I was 18 mm-hmm. At, like, some open mic in Newport Beach, Chester Drawers. It's Costa Mesa.
What made you want to do that?
I just, dude, I always wanted to do it. I had done
kid.
Like little shit. I was always class clown yeah. and like I'd done some like talent show stuff, like hosting.
Hosting
like
a talent show?
Yeah, we had this thing. My seventh grade Spanish teacher had Senior Norga. He had this thing called like Norga Fest.
Like, he like named it after himself?
Sounds like some shit in Cuba. Like,
Norga Fest.
Yeah, it was some crazy like thing he wanted to do for us to showcase our talents, but he really encouraged that's me awesome. To do that. That dude, he let me do, because I would do like the Spanish accent really well and like do
you
the
do
Spanish.
It so good.
And he let me teach the class, bro. I owe that guy a lot.
He's like a fake teacher?
Yeah, he'd be like, go and teach, man. Amir, go. And then like he'd just go sit in the back and he'd like trust in me that I'd like, you know, get some shit taught to the kids, but also like fuck around a little bit.
So what would you do?
Or he was just hungover and
totally.
He didn't want to have to deal with the kids that day.
Drank
like, you do it. And I was, I went on last night.
Whatever it was, man. It was just, he just encouraged us to be creative.
And that's huge, by the way, because I was going to ask that, because some teachers like reprimand it and they're just like, stop fucking around. You're fucking up my focus. You're being a nuisance. They see it differently, not like trying to nurture your talents.
Oh, totally.
So that's having those teachers in your life is huge.
Toby,
what would you do when you would like get up there in front of the class?
No, I would go up and just do the thing, and my Spanish was on point. You know, my accent was really good. Yeah. I'd just like give him the words, and I'd go, no, pendejos. Like I'd like cuss a little bit, like in Spanish,
so
like
funny.
The slang I'd learned on the street.
Yeah. Right.
And he'd let me do it because like the kids
really?
Were like, whatever.
Yeah, and probably the kids didn't even know what you were
the
saying.
The kids didn't even know, and he knew it was like slang shit that they were like, mm-hmm. wait, what? And then it's all like, you know, it's like a mixed group. Some were, you know, Mexican kids that like knew and they were laughing. Like,
you
oh,
call them like a fucking, you know, dildo full of chiclets.
Not
and like the
that.
Teacher.
I
like,
wasn't that, I wasn't that proficient.
But so then when you do that, are you exposed to any like stand up comedy at the time that made you go, oh wow, someone could do that for a living? Or,
you know, it's like I never, because like my parents, you know, were immigrants, so like that wasn't mm-hmm. a viable option in, you know, in Iran, for example. So I always knew, I thought maybe I could be a teacher or some shit. You know, like early on, I had a fifth grade teacher, Mr. Smith, and he was so funny. And I remember we would all be like so, and he would read the this book, what was it called, Miss Pickett or some shit, this book that I'll that he would read every day, like for like 15 minutes. And we'd all look forward to it because he'd read the book and then play the characters.
Oh, shit.
In the book, he'd do the voices and stuff. And I was like, dude, that's so cool. And we were all like looking forward to the end of the day where he would read that 15 minutes of this book.
Shit. One day, if I work really hard, yeah, no, I can be a fifth grade teacher.
I was like, dude, I'll do that. And I can be a funny guy. You know, I can be a funny thing.
You liked, because he was making you guys laugh and you saw him.
Dude,
do
I thought like, okay, maybe I could do that and it'll be like, oh, my parents will be cool. I mean, I was fifth grade, so I didn't know. But I was like, maybe this is a career option that I could choose. And then, you know, I realized that like I like being funny, and I like. And then, as I went on in school, I was like,
"You just figure it out." And then you mm-hmm. once you, it also is like, because you don't know that stand up. It takes a while to figure out that like, oh, that's actually something you
that's
can
a
do.
Thing. Yeah. I didn't know. I didn't even know until like I started. Yeah, watching like Comedy Central and stuff like that.
So
and
then
like,
you did in college or high school? You said
no, and it was when I graduated high school, okay. And I went and lived with my cousins in Newport Beach, and that was like 15-20 minutes away from where I lived inside like. Orange County in the city of Orange.
Just Party Central, by the way.
Well, yeah, Newport's crazy. So I went there. I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm going to go live with my cousins. Yeah. And they're like, you know, a little bit older. And so I live with them and I'm like, cool, I'm out of the house. My, you know, my dad like kind of went on my own and shit. And I was like, I can just do this. He won't even know about it, you know. And I started to do I was always writing. Like even in high school, I'd write because I remember I'd do like do stuff to make people laugh, and then like I'd like remember it and come in lunchtime. I'd go like, dude, I fucking said this, and then like he said, you know, the teacher
said
this.
So funny, man. And then you'd write it down, and then maybe like have those same.
No, I just like go and do like a set at lunch. You know what I mean? Like now when you think about it, like I come back and be like, dude, I fucking said all this funny shit.
Yeah,
let me go
dude.
Do what I did and like reenact the shit.
Let me go do another set at recess.
Yeah.
I got fucking three
nutrition.
Oh, dude, right? I did recess and lunch, dude. I did recess lunch. I opened for science.
Well, and was there ever a moment where you thought that this could be a job, or was it always just kind of going to be a hobby of yours?
It wasn't it was just always like I knew I wanted to do something in that vein, like of like being able to make people laugh and shit. And I just didn't know how I was going to do that. And then when I started to watch like Comedy Central and stuff, I'm like, maybe this is like a thing you can do.
Yeah.
You know? And then the whole next thing was like, okay, but the school is so important in our culture. Like, you got to go to school.
Sure.
You got to do this.
I mean, stress that. Like, it really is.
Dude, it's like huge. It's like, you know, your dad, like from when I'm a kid, like they're like, what college are you going to go? Like, you're asking you know, like when you're a fucking kid, like, oh, okay, you're going to do this. You're going to be a doctor. You're going to be a lawyer. It's so
put down
cliche.
Those Legos, unless those Legos like you want to build shit. Yeah. And in which case, here's a list of engineering schools.
Totally. Engineering. My dad was an engineer. It's like.
What did he want you to do?
No, he just was like, he hoped that I would be a doctor or a lawyer. And then, like, when I did the UCLA thing, I was like, dude, I'll go into law. Like, no brainer. Like, fuck yeah, it's easy. Like,
yeah. You know?
And then I went and sat at the law library at UCLA. I mean, these motherfuckers are miserable. They're sitting there, like, same guy for 3 days behind a stack of books. I'm like, fuck that shit. You know, I was like, dude, I can't. I didn't have
same
the heart to
guy,
tell
my, you walk in to check out a.
I didn't have the heart to tell my dad, but, like, I was like, fuck this shit. I'm like, let me. And then when the real estate stuff started popping, I'm like, dad, listen, I'm going to go make some money doing real estate stuff. I'm going to save money to go to law school, which was a total bullshit lie, you know?
Just to, like, buy yourself some time.
Yeah, just to buy some time, just to be like, all right, whatever.
And then did he still have that hope?
Huh?
Did he still have the hope? Like, oh, you're doing this, and you're eventually going to go to law school?
Yeah. Well, I mean, at that point, I don't think...
Does he still do it?
To be honest with you, like, my dad was not around that much, like, when we were younger. Like, he was, like... we lived with my mom for a while, and then they got divorced, and... this is so confusing, man.
Go for it. Tell a story. I'm going to make a drink.
Yeah, make us two drinks and a double. So, Brad, like I was telling you, I fucking hate Adam Ray.
Oh, me too, dude.
I'll be honest.
Me too.
Oh, sorry.
He comes in like, I'm good looking. And then 2 years ago, I was in this $100 million movie, and he just never stops talking about it. And all the and just nothing but According to Jim references.
Whoa,
just all the time, like let me tell you all about Jim Belushi.
Hey, guess who's getting a piss shot?
Oh, there you go. Adam, why aren't we talking about that shit,
let's
dude?
Talk about it.
Do you know how many times I've told the story about fucking my coming up in Iran shit?
It's okay.
Oh, that's perfect, dude. Glenlivet.
Brad, you want one?
No, I'm
the
good,
record,
man.
Guys, he's pouring it a Glenlivet 18.
All right, we're gonna get back to
you starting. Cheers, dude.
Cheers, Bubba.
Fucking. Amir, the first, I think it was maybe, I guess after you left the Haha,
yeah.
And we were both kind of in it, you know, grinding for a little bit, and we did our first headline gig together.
Oh, that was so fun, man.
All right.
Oh, so, yeah, that was one of the funnest trips I've had. Like,
I mean, the road obviously is just like, which we've all done a ton now,
yeah.
And, you know, it's just you're in places you would never go to.
Right.
You're around people you would never meet. You're in scenarios that you never thought you would be.
Right.
So weird shit happens, but you have to put yourself in those positions. You can't stay locked up in the hotel.
No.
Sometimes you do, and that's fine. But when you're with a buddy, it's always easier to not do
that. Dude, that was half the fun. Is like early on going, I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, we're going to go. We're boys. Like, we're going to have a good time.
We were co-headlining a room that Lucas Seely did in Montana.
Billings, Montana.
Billings, Montana.
The hotbed of stand-up comedy in this country. Oh, let me tell you, Billings, Montana.
We had made it. We had a billboard.
We had a billboard. Dude, it was a fucking a flashing one that like had the lights.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, we thought we were fucking
famous. Hey, big spender.
Oh, yeah. So we go out there. And Brad, I'm going to... Amir, I made some bullet points of some of the stories, and I'm going to have Brad pick which ones he wants to hear first.
Okay.
All
right. Bye-bye. There's mall massage, okay. Crank's stand-up questions, Crank's duck story, piss shots, and swearing. Who the hell is Crank? I've got to start with that.
Who isn't Crank?
Who isn't Crank?
Oh, right. Wow. That's an answer for me right there.
So Billings, Montana, we go out there. It's Billings, it's big skies. It's just meth. It's a lot of partying, a lot of small town folk that are just want to have a good time.
Yeah.
And so we do a show.
They're excited.
They're so pumped. They think we're famous. We've been on TV a little bit.
We're on the fucking Big J show. What is the guy's show?
Big J, the radio show. Yeah.
We did fucking news.
Yeah.
Like, we hadn't slept. I went and did fucking the weather.
Amir did the weather at 5 a.m. We were still drunk.
We hadn't slept, bro.
Oh, my God.
And he goes up there and he just goes,
I'm like, there's a forecast.
Yeah. He's like, over there. He's like, give me your payment. You don't know what you're doing. Like, just talking shit to the weatherman.
Was this on one of those sort of cheesy morning shows?
That's
like the morning news, and we got Today Show Light. We were on the street, like eating fucking the Chinese food. Sealy would give us
the egg rolls, and people were like, "We saw the weather."
How did they recognize the Arab in Billings, Montana? That's weird. I would think you would blend in up there.
Yeah,
the population went up 100%.
So then we're on one of the radio stations in Amir. We did we walked in there. We sat down. We waited like 20 minutes for our segment, which was going to be like 15 minutes, and this was the big main radio station. That Lucas is like, we're going to get the most hits from this as far as ticket sales. And we sit down, maybe 20 seconds in, they're like, you guys been having a good time? Amir goes, I mean, yeah, fuck yeah, dude, whatever. Fuck.
I'm like, Usama, fuck, crack, man. Yeah. I said something where I said fuck on the air. And they're like, all right, that's our time. And
they just go, okay, Amir and Adam, you can see him at the red door in the Blue Inn. And we were just like, what? And then they just pull off the headphones. They go, thanks, guys.
Dude,
wow.
And I don't even know if you remember this, like 2 seconds after we were off the air, the fucking phone rings and the guy's thing, and then it was the owner of the radio station. He's like, that's what it sounds like.
And
he goes, yeah. And I'm like, oh. But it was like our fifth interview.
Yeah, it was our fifth. It was, yeah.
It was like late in the day. We hadn't slept.
And that's the thing when you get into comedy, no one tells you about the press part of it. Which isn't that bad when you think about it in the greater scheme of life. But when you fly all the way somewhere, you get there, and then you get to your hotel at like 1:30 in the morning, and they say, all right, be up at 5 a.m. for press. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And you do 4 hours of sleep, and now, okay, be on.
Be
funny.
And you've never, like, we didn't do it that much back
then.
We had no idea what the fuck we were talking about. So we're like up there, like, you know, trying to plug
trying
the shows
to be funny and plug the shows.
I'm like, And
a lot of them aren't that great with setting you up. They're like, so you guys, you like comedy? And we're like, I mean,
wait a minute. The morning show DJs in Billings, Montana aren't the best in the country.
No, but they're no Byron Allen. You know?
So then we go to a mall during one of the days. It was like, hey, let's go to the main mall because we just need to like, kill time.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a massage, a Korean massage in the middle of the mall. I'm like, hey, I definitely feel like getting one of those. They're always usually pretty spot on.
Sure.
So I sit down in the chair. You get your knees down in that thing. You get your face in the thing with the hole in it.
Right.
And the guy's giving me a massage and about, you know, it's a woman or it was a dude.
It was a dude.
Yeah, and he's giving massage everywhere. And then, you know, there's all of a sudden there's just like a 3 second pause in between. You know, they do the shoulders, and then when they move to like, around to your head, like they move. There's a little break in the action,
right?
A little commercial break. So a commercial break happens, and then all of a sudden the guy starts going down on my legs and like on my thighs.
Mm-hmm.
And I start feeling like massaging my thighs. Then it starts moving higher up my thighs. That guy goes inside my thighs a little bit, and the whole time. Wait, what's that?
And then like a scotch just slowly comes out. Like, here you go.
Yeah.
And so drink this.
And guess what, man? It feels good. So like half of me is like
not saying shit.
Yeah, saying shit. Just in the middle of the mall, taking the abuse, the sexual harassment. But again, you're like, you just assume these guys know what they're doing. Because, it's the same thing. If he started walking on my back, I'd be like...
You'd be like, wow, how'd you do that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the fucking mall. way to go, bro.
Also, you'd be like, this is just what they do in their culture.
Right.
So, in the thighs, and then he's like... then he starts doing the chest, and then goes right up to the tits, and starts just squeezing my tits. And then I
he
just
start squeezing him.
And that's when I just pop away and I go, "Whoa, man, what the fuck?" And I turn around and it's Amir.
And it's me the whole time. Dude, I've been massaging this motherfucker for 35 minutes. He paid the guy for me to massage
him.
Wow. Bro. Yeah. Like, I'm like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to commit.
Yeah. And you went for it.
And I screamed in the middle of the mall. And there's like all these kids around me.
It was so funny because I go, "Adam, how did you let me get away?" Because, dude, like the tits thing wasn't even the worst part. Yeah. Like the legs. I was in his legs and I could feel him squirm a little, but he wasn't doing shit.
I would slightly move.
And by the way, Adam, why are you hard right now?
Yeah, dude. Hey, man. He gotten some pleasure.
Wait. So did you like pay the masseuse to be like, "Hey, let me fuck with my buddy," or did you start doing it?
Like he started it off, and I looked at him and I go, I was like doing all sorts of weird hand signals and shit. I don't know what the fuck. I was like,
probably just confused him.
Yeah, I was like,
he thought you were gonna hit him, so he just stood away.
Yeah. So he just was like, all right. And he like, kind of freaked out, and then he like stepped back, and I took over. And then it was so funny. Adam was just like, "Yeah, this is great." Like, loving it. And then I go, "Whoa." He go, and I could feel him go, "Hey, buddy."
"Hey, buddy." I think when you got to a point when you started climbing up the chest, I was like, "Oh, wait, wait."
And then he goes, "Hey, hey."
Well, there you go, listeners. Just know if Adam Ray comes to your town and you want to touch him, inner thighs he's okay with.
Well, I think that's across the board for everybody.
Sure, but don't touch Adam Ray's titties.
Yeah.
No titties.
Do not. He's very sensitive about those. Very sensitive about the titties.
Crank, when you said, "Who is Crank?"
If you're ready for Crank, let us know, bro.
All right, there's a guy in Billings, Montana. Every, I think, place like this has their own, like, their character. Like, the guy who represents...
Everyone has their own Crank.
I think they do, though, man. This guy, we meet him on the first day. He's 6'4". Got a ponytail, a goatee. He looks like he got kicked off the blue collar comedy tour.
So he can only be named Crank.
Yeah, dude.
That's it.
Or the bullet comic. Mm. He's the bullet comic because he wears a bullet around his neck. I love Crank, by the way. Crank, if you're listening, I love
Crank.
You.
If you're listening, dude, everything we're about to say is out of love, dude. You're like,
and it's dope shit. It's, you made an impression, and we'll never forget.
We'll never forget you. Amir and I talk about you all the time. I've told stories about you. The first time we meet him, it's like Amir and I do a Q&A for the comics, right? So it's like we meet him. First of all, Crank's not like a nickname. That's his name.
That's his given God given.
He came out of his mom's vagina, and dad looked at him and went, "That's a crank right there."
So she, who knows if like that's what they were doing when they like, you know, were,
sure,
whatever. Yeah. So he, the Q&A with the comics where all these young comics ask Amir and I like, "Hey, how do we make it in Hollywood? How do we, you know, how do we get to come play Billings, Montana someday?" And Amir and I,
like, "You just fucking stay here."
Yeah.
And you don't. And keep
and you guys are how, like, and this is your first headliner gig,
dude,
but they,
I was doing
but
comedy
they don't know that.
Year.
Yeah, maybe
Adam
2 years.
Was a little more seasoned.
Yeah,
like
a little more,
kind of.
Little more, but
year and 2 months.
But you know, the shows were great. Like, Amir and I, you know, we had great
so
young energy
fun.
And we were just, you know, it was
just wanted to, like, you know, just fucking have a good show.
Yeah.
Like,
so these kids are asking us advice, and Crank at one point, most of the questions are pretty normal and you know, like, do we need an agent right away? Like, when should we submit for Comedy Central for a special?
But they were all legitimate questions.
Legit, right.
From all the comics that were there.
And then Crank speaks up and asks.
And then Crank is there. Showed up fucking 30 minutes early. This guy's there ready.
Yeah, jean jacket.
And he just is.
He means business.
He goes, "What was the first question he asked?" He goes,
"Well, first of all, he gave us the setup with like what he, like how he, who he's open for.
Do the setup." Yeah. He goes, "Okay, look, man, I've been with Jim Foxworthy. I've been with, geez, fucking up the name.
Jim Foxworthy,
man, I know fucking."
You mean
man.
Jeff Foxworthy? His cousin Jim, dumb shit.
I know Larry, the fucking guy that works for DirecTV, man. I know all. Like, I know fucking all the guys, man. And I've been.
Ron Blanco.
Yeah.
So Crank's giving us the lowdown.
He told us he opened for Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah.
And he's like, so he goes, "I've opened for all these big timers, and they love me, and they keep asking me." So it's like, I've been around, I know what's what. But my question to you is, so people have been telling me that my opener has not been, like, I shouldn't open dirty, but like that's just what I find funny.
And that's me. So
and that's
I want to open this
I want to be me. I'll open this way. And maybe I can run the bit by you guys.
And we're like, sure, man. And we think, like, okay, maybe it's a little edgy, but like.
Oh, right. He said some of the headliners didn't want to work with him anymore because he was so dirty up front. So, like, well, what was the bit you were doing?
Yeah, we go, "Well, no way, man. This, you know, it's cool to be edgy a little bit."
Yeah.
Like, what do you got?
And you know this.
And he goes, "All right, man. So what's the best thing about screwing a 12-year-old? Like, fucking her in the ass and put her in the butt."
No.
All right.
Don't get me wrong. I'm stealing that joke. It's genius.
It was something. It was like,
you know better.
It was like something, turn him over.
Oh, yeah. He goes.
It was a.
Well, dude.
Was it that joke where they say, "What's the best part about fucking.
No, 29-year-olds?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that one.
There's 20 of them? No, not that joke? Okay.
It was the one. It was. I fucked it up and I ruined it.
Do you remember what it is?
I it was something about
flip him over and fuck him in the ass pussy. The punchline was flip him over and fuck him.
The punchline, whatever it was, the punchline was definitely flip him over and fuck him in the ass pussy.
Well, I think the setup is
I don't turn down any ass unless it's a 12-year-old boy. Then I turn him down and fuck him in the ass pussy. That was the joke. I turn him down and I fuck him in the ass pussy.
Wow.
And then he goes, now I'm trying to figure out what the problem with that is.
And then he goes, I did it one time at this, we had a Harley convention in town. And next thing I know, they're saying, hey, man, we got this guy Crank. He's a pedophile. Now he's a pedophile.
I'm trying to ask you guys, my question is, how do you get an agent? It's like...
Holy hell, yeah. Dude.
So, and
how do you get on Byron Allen's Comics Unleashed?
Now, listen, I'm really unleashed. Now, how do we get on?
Now, because I even made up 500 fuck him in the ass pussy t-shirts.
That's his merch.
And now I'm trying to move these t-shirts, man. They're going to be hits.
It says fuck him, and on the back it says ass pussy, man. That's all it says.
He's not selling.
When you turn him over, it says ass pussy.
Dude, that was his joke. And then, so then the show starts. And then he tells us a story. He starts introducing us to his wife, and he's telling us.
Oh, of course that guy's married.
Yeah, and she's got a ponytail, too.
And an ass pussy.
For sure.
And he's like, you guys.
That's how I wrote my material. I fucked my wife and her ass pussy. I thought, that'd be a great joke.
So he goes, you guys got to come shoot with us, man. We got a shooting range. Ride the horses, man. We'll shoot the horses, man. You guys just come out.
He's just making shit up that we can't
do. He's like, come out. And then his wife's like, you guys can come on, I'll make you dinner. And he goes, shut up, bitch. And he's like, I'm talking about shooting horses. She kept trying to interject. He's like, shut up,
you little faggot. She called. She goes, you little faggot, little dick. Like, they were like, their relationship.
He's like, fuck you and your fucking saggy ass fat tits. He's like, we got a good rapport going.
It was just crazy. And then she answers.
He's like, we like
back
to joke on each other. And it's, yeah.
And then she's throwing out these, like, fucking F. Like,
she's like, go do cocaine, you fucking meth. He's like, why don't you fucking find your teeth, you fucking witch? Anyway,
what the hell? Yeah. It's like a Jerry Springer show coming to life in front of you.
Like the Abbott and Costello fucking, like,
it was
just
funny. Me and Adam were just literally mouth open looking at each other, like,
who's on first? I don't know. Ass pussy. Genius.
It was like a relationship.
Dude, it was incredible. And then he tells us a story. He goes, go have him do meth. And he goes, like, speaking of meth, he's like, you guys ever done meth? We're like, no, man. He's like, well, we go out that, fucking do some meth, shoot some horses. We're like, hey, enough with the shooting horses, man. And then
he's really insisting on shooting horses.
He's like, you know what I mean, man. Shoot some MP3s. Shoot some MP3s.
You know what I mean, man? Play some duck hunt. You know, and then so then he goes, meth is crazy, man. He goes, there's one time I did meth, man. Went out to the woods, right? And I see this fucking, I see this.
Goes, Adam laid down for him.
Dude, this is one of the best stories ever. He goes, we're out to the woods, man. And we're looking, just like taking a little hike, just walking little trails through the woods. And we see this snake, right? My buddy's like, hey, Crank, there's a snake over there next to that tree. And I go, man, that ain't no snake. And he's like, yeah, it is, man. And I go, man, fuck that. That ain't no snake. I know what a snake looks like. So I walk over. I go, I'm going to go check out, see, make that sure that snake is for real a snake. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, we can shoot some horses later, too, if you guys want. So I walk over to that tree. I see the snake. I see the snake. I go over to the snake. I try to see the snake over in the corner of that tree. And I get over to the snake, and I look down. And it ain't a snake. It's a fucking little family of ducks. It's a family of ducks just chilling.
Dude, you fucked up the whole – I swear to God.
What?
Dude, so he goes – this is so funny because it's been years now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like this. He goes, I saw a duck – and then my friend said, there's a snake. I go, there's no way that's a snake. Friends and snake. Ducks and snakes aren't friends.
Oh, that's what it was.
And ducks and snakes aren't friends.
Right, great line.
He goes, sounds like a book you read to a 5-year-old. Ducks and snakes aren't friends. Chapter 1.
But one thing they both do love, ass pussy.
They do.
So he goes, I see the snake go around the tree one way. I see the ducks go around the other way.
That's right. How could I have fucked it up? Because this is such a crucial part.
You met Matthew McConaughey.
And because he rescued the fucking...
That's right. His buddy goes, there's a snake. They saw the family of ducks, and he's like, snakes and ducks are friends. So he walks over, and he goes...
They're both going behind a tree. They both disappear.
Okay. They disappear behind the tree. So he goes, I'm going to go rescue...
No, he doesn't even know. He goes, I'm going to go check this out. Are they friends? And he goes back there. Snake is.
What, they're going to be playing poker behind the tree? Are they friends?
This is the show that he's like opening for us on. He's
He tells the story offstage first. And then he goes, I walk back there, and he goes, I fucking see there's a snake and ducks. And that snake's going after that duck and that family of ducks. So I fucking pick up that snake. I'm like, fuck that shit, snake. I fucking throw the snake into the woods. I fucking save that duck family. And then I pick up those ducks. And I was like, dude, so you fucking saved the ducks? Like, you're a hero. He goes, yeah, man. I go, so what'd you do with the ducks? He goes, picked them up, man. Took them home, put them in a frying pan, fucking cooked up some ducks.
Made some duck babies.
Made some duck babies. Okay. He goes, I picked up those little duck babies, took them home, made duck baby stew or some shit.
And we're like, something where you go, what the fuck?
And then we go, what's
the
wrong with you? And he is, the last line, he goes, picked up those ducks, took them home, made duck baby stew. He goes, man, meth is a fucking crazy drug, man. And then he tells me,
he pulled out the Charlie Murphy, Rick James.
Yeah, dude.
cocaine is a hell of a drug.
So he says that shit. 45 minutes later, I get on stage and I open with that story. I go, do you guys know Crank? And everyone kind of cheers.
And Adam does the story, okay, worse than the first time he told it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not even, because it was like, it was very, the way you did it, because I remember watching you off stage and I'm like, all right, he's doing it. Fuck yeah. Because he's like, Adam's like, I'm going to talk about this shit. Because we were blown away by the story.
Yeah,
so
sure.
So I was like, I'm going to go up there. I'm going to talk about it.
It's not too often that you meet a cast member from the show, The Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah, and we think it's fucking hilarious. Yeah, dude, yeah. Right?
And tell the whole story. And apparently, like, no one's laughing. Because the punchline is about how he eats the ducks.
Right.
So no one's laughing. Apparently, there's, like, duck crossing signs in Billings, Montana.
Like, they're ducks are, like, a fucking thing there.
Highly revered. People, like, care for them. Like, it's like, hey, don't fuck with the ducks is, like, their slogan.
I mean, yeah, them and people in Anaheim, but sure.
Yeah. So
local OC reference.
Yeah,
thank you.
Nice. So I say that whole story, and then I get off stage after my set, and Crank goes, man, I got to be honest, man, that was really fucking special, man. You touched my heart, man. You talking about me like that, dude? He goes, that was really great, dude. Is that the first time you've done that bit? I go, Crank,
wow.
You told me that story 45 minutes ago.
Yeah, it was in the
and he goes, hell yeah, man.
Patio.
Did you think that you had run and, like, workshop the bit?
Yeah, yeah.
We
were in the patio.
Pizza store next door. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, man.
So great, dude.
Those people are real.
So then, all right, last story of that trip, the piss shots.
Oh, my. This was a good one.
So it's the last night there. Me and I have a flight at 6 a.m. We're like, let's go to a bar and just, like, get fucked up and stay up all night, right? Mm-hmm. This is the road. We had great shows.
Right.
We fucking met Crank. We, like, got the fucking...
Adam broke a pipe, by the way. A fucking weed pipe on. He was trying to ash it out and just fuck it. I go, hey, and he's incredible Hulk. He's so high. This guy, we have a glass pipe, and he's trying to, like, get the little bowl out. Mm-hmm. You know, like, cash out the fucking shit. And he's just slamming it like fucking he's the Hulk on this fucking bench. I go, Adam... And before I can even say, the thing breaks, shatters in his fucking hand, and he goes, hey,
as you do. I
mean, like some Stony Houdini.
It was fucking hilarious.
Look what I did.
Yeah, and he goes, oh.
So we go to this bar, and Amir and I meet these girls right off the bat, right? And they're just gorgeous women, and we're talking to them, flirting with them. Mm-hmm. We go, can we buy you guys some drinks? They go, yes. We, like, know the guys that work here. We'll get them.
Yeah.
So we noticed the bartender too, who's, like, flirting with them a little bit too. She's like, Jamie, can we get some shots and whatever? And, like, we can see this dude is like...
They can tell, dude. We, like, walk in, so they're like, oh, okay, these guys are from fucking out of town.
They're
like,
out of town, man.
You could
and
tell.
And she was like, they're the comedians. They're from L.A.
And she was talking us up, and then the guy fucking didn't like it. The bartenders were like, the guys in town. You know, they're
the guy's been trying to fuck her for 5 years, but it's going to happen, man.
And so he saw that shit, and he goes, all right. And
you could just tell the way he was looking at us was like, I don't like these guys. Mm-hmm. Like, but I'll get them drinks. They want drinks?
And we were fucked up, but I'm reading these motherfuckers. I could see.
Amir is so perceptive, dude. And
I was like,
I'm just like, everything's great, man. Let's have a good time.
Well, I'm telling you, coming here when I was a kid.
Yeah, dude. So he goes back, and so what happens? He goes, I'll get you guys some drinks.
He goes, for a minute, he thinks about it. He goes, wait a minute, because the girl asked for the shots. And he looks and he pauses for me, because normally a bartender can get us some shots.
Turn around. Cool, man. You guys are cool.
He takes a minute and he goes, because he was going to give free shots to the girls, you know?
Right.
He goes, yeah. I'll get you some fucking shots.
Yeah, because he thought they were for her initially.
And then
she's like, for my guys too. And then he kind of like looked up like, oh.
Yo, but we had a thing. Okay, wait. So we got to go back, because we had a thing before that, because we walk in the bar and then they already knew we were hanging out with the girls. But I had ordered some drinks for me and Adam.
Mm-hmm.
I had ordered us a round of drinks. And no drink in Montana is over $4 or $5, bro. Like, you can order a fucking...
Sure. That's why they drink so much.
Yeah,
dude, it's the best part about going there out of LA.
Top shelf is $5, right? So, like, I'm like, yo, and I've been drinking. We've been drinking there all weekend. Yeah. And I go, yo, bro. And I same bartender. I go, yo, dude, could I get a couple of vodka sodas or whatever? He's like, yeah, cool. Comes back. He's like 15 something or whatever he said, like 18
this
bucks.
Right off the bat.
Some crazy shit. I go, what the fuck? I go, what? And Adam was talking to the girls. I remember.
Yeah.
You were talking to the girls. And I look over. I go, dude, what the fuck is this guy? And you're like, what's wrong, bro? And I'm like, yo, this guy's like charging.
And then the girls came over.
You're like, let it go. And I go, all right, fuck it. What am I doing? I'm in Montana. Here, bro, take it. And I go, here you go, buddy. And he was already trying to fuck with us in the beginning because he's like, these guys are from out of town. Fuck them. Here, 18 bucks for your stupid shit. You know? And I'm like, all right, cool. We're in Billings. But here, fucker, here's the 20.
Yeah.
And he takes the money. And then 20
is your ticket out of here.
Yeah, and then we carry on. Then we carry on because then like Adam sees I was like, what the fuck?
Because things are going well with the girls.
So then the girl goes, what's the matter? You know? And I'm like, oh, this guy just fucking with that. And I don't know that they're buddies, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he was like, this guy was being a dick to me. She's like, I'll talk to him.
She's like, I'll talk to him. I'm going to get you guys some shots. And she goes, oh, we're going to do shots. We'll all do shots. You guys are the comedians. We'll do shots. And we're like, cool, man. And then she goes to the guy, and I'm watching the fucking guy.
I'm just watching her talk. And as she's talking, like, and trying to sweet talk.
Yeah, she's like, give us some shots. And he goes, what, why? And he's like, looking. I can see. And he goes, oh, okay. And then I can see a fucking light bulb thing go off in the dude's head. And he goes, yeah. I'll get him shot. Yeah, fuck yeah.
All of a sudden,
he's our best friend. And I'm like, why is he giving a shot?
And disappears.
Then, and no. So he goes, and he whispers in this other guy's ear. And I see him fucking talking. Adam's talking to the girls. Yeah. And I look over and I fucking see the guy talking to his other buddy that's a bartender. And they're like laughing about it, some shit. I don't know. And then the two girl shots come up real quick. He makes the shots to the bartender. Makes the shots for the girls. Other dude took off. I don't know what the fuck happened. Comes back. Our shots come up like fucking 10 minutes later when the dude came back.
Shots. 10 minutes
and
later.
I see the guy disappear.
Even if you had to go to the back to get a new bottle of booze.
Right.
Not taking 10 minutes.
He comes back and he fucking, this dude comes back. And he goes, here you go, guys, with a big-ass smile on his face. And I go, Adam, do not take those fucking shots. I look at Adam, and I see the guy. And I just go, all right, cool, thanks, man. I look at him, I go, do not take those fucking shots, dude. And we're like, yo, we're not taking this. The girl's like, we'll take them.
But I go, why not, Amir? And you smell it, and then you just go, what did you say? You go,
I go, these are piss shots, bro. As if I've taken.
These are piss shots, bro. And I start laughing because I go, what? Come on, dude. We're in Montana. I just broke a pipe. We're going to shoot horses in the morning. Like, we're having a great time, man.
I'm sure. And even if it is, it's probably a secret item on the menu, like some In-N-Out burger stuff.
Yeah, piss shots. That's gotta be piss shots. That's a famous piss shot. Like,
sure.
It's so, like, the tequila is so yellow, it looks like piss.
Yeah.
No. Amir's like, don't fucking drink it. So then he slams it down and he.
No. So then we're sitting there and the girls are like, we'll take them. And the girls are so fucking drunk.
Right.
Like, this is so funny because it's like 4 years later, me and Adam are like going over the story.
Yeah.
Because and the girls go, no, we'll take them. And we go, all right. And we give it to the girls. So there's two girls and two guys.
Right.
And they've already taken two shots. We give them our shots and they fucking slam them. They're so fucked up. They don't know what's going on. And I'm like, yeah, and then the guys, I see them looking at us, and the glasses are in front of me and Adam, you know, the empty glasses. And the guys are looking at us laughing. I'm watching them the whole time. I'm like,
You saw this whole thing go down.
And they fucking are watching us laughing their asses off. They're pointing at us laughing. You know, and I know what's going down. The guy just went back and pissed in a fucking, you know, put a little alcohol, pissed in there, and then gave us some fucking shots. And I go, okay, cool, man. And I go, watch this, Adam. I go around the bar. Why does the fucking headphones keep going out?
Is it cracking?
No, it just keeps going out. It's all good.
I know why.
Yeah, we'll pause it.
Here, take these ones.
Well, it doesn't matter. Just throw them out. It's just fine.
Okay, keep going.
All right.
Yeah.
So then... Wait, where were we at in the story?
Piss shots.
Yeah, of course.
So I would get to the bar.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No, all right. So the girls take the shots. There's empty glass in front of us. The guys are laughing the fuck. They're like laughing at us. Like, oh, look at these guys. And then I go, Adam, watch this, dude. And I know what the fuck happened. And they thought we took their piss shots. So I walk around the fucking corner and like to the other side of the bar. And I go, yo, let me do that. Whatever you gave us was fucking awesome. Like those two shots. What did you make, dude? That was like, give us fucking four more of those. I go, those were fucking amazing. And he goes, and he already charged me $20 for the fucking, bullshit shot, you know, drinks that we got, like, that you don't do in Billings. And he goes, okay, cool, man. He makes these drinks real quick there. He goes, all right, cool. And he tells his buddy, and they're laughing, you know, his buddy's laughing and shit. And I don't think he's not going to do the piss shots again, but he, like, does something watered down, some bullshit, and he puts out the shots in front of me. And he goes, here you go, dude, just give me $10, man. It's all good. Just give me $10.
But discount you pay on the piss shot.
He goes, right. He's like, it's all good, man. Just give me. And I fucking look him right in the eye. And I fucking grab all the shots and I pour them right over the bar. I go, here you go, motherfucker. By the way, your girlfriend took the piss shots.
Well done,
it was
sir.
Fucking great, bro. It
oh, great. Dude. And then, he goes over to the bouncer and goes, get these guys the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah. So then he goes, the bartender freaks out. He goes, what the fuck are you talking about?
What the fuck
are
you throwing? You can't throw the booze back here?
Fuck you, man. You throw the booze. What are you talking about? We pissed. Like, he was, you know, we can tell.
Yeah, backtracking. And he tells the bouncer, and the bouncer comes over. He's like,
and the bouncer's like, get
the fuck
guys out of here. They just threw all their drinks, and it was like such a fucking
scene. Yeah, and the girl's like, what happened? I'm like, you guys took piss shots.
You guys took piss shots. We got to go.
We got to fight.
Adam had to get plan B. I fucking stuck some chick here.
Sure.
I mean, we could do 2 hours on this fucking
show. I mean, it was, but that's just like the, I mean, every young comic has, I don't know if they have those stories, but.
No, but I'm glad we shared it together.
Dude, it was unbelievable.
That's why you go out.
That bonded us forever, dude. I mean, you and I came back being like.
No, we were like boys.
Hey, you avoid piss shots. You're now brothers in arms.
Yeah, dude.
Like you've seen some stuff together. And that's why it's so fun when you do the road to not just be in the hotel the entire time. Go out. Go to the local bar. Go to the local mall. See whatever there is. See the world's largest cashew or whatever the hell is in your city. Just go do it. Like, whenever I hear stories about comics just. Like, I just sit in the hotel room the whole time and watch Netflix. I'm like, why? You could do that at home.
No, it's like, be in the world. Go out there. Because, like, dude, if you don't, then you don't have new material. You know what I mean? Like, half the shit. When you've been doing comedy 10 years.
Yeah.
Dude, like, you're on the road a lot. So if you're not in the world fucking living life, like,
when you tour,
you're not going to have shit to, you know.
When you tour with Maz, Jabrani.
Yeah, we just got back from Houston last night. Yeah.
How was it?
It was amazing, dude. It's
Maz is arguably the biggest Persian comic.
Definitely the biggest Persian comic.
I mean, just a big comic. But, yeah. I mean, like, his demo is, largely Persian.
It is, but there's a lot of crossover. You'd be surprised, dude. Like, a lot of people think, like, oh, it's just going to be fucking Middle Eastern.
No, funny's funny, man.
Yeah, totally.
It translates.
And you know, there is definitely that. There's the, you know, Middle Eastern audience that's known him for years of, you know, because that's, you know, one of us. And they're like, oh, shit, he's doing it. So it's like... And he was a pioneer, definitely. And there's a guy, Omid Jalili, in London. I don't know if you know Omid Jalili. He's hilarious. He's an Iranian comedian, but he's British. And he's amazing. When we did shows in London, he came and hung with us. Dude's fucking great. And he's like huge over there, but he's like another representative.
So you've got to go with Maz, I mean, pretty much everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah, pretty much, dude. And he's been like a big brother to me. I've been blessed to have him, you know, endorse me in the community.
Oh, yeah, because he's given, you all his fans just by being like...
It's like, and the best part is, like, you know, we go out and there's some older fans there because, you know, there's a big, you know, there's fucking 70-year-old Persian people, you know, 70-year-old Arab people, and there's young people. And I find that the younger people, like, kind of get my shit because I'm a little bit more, you know, I might cuss a little bit, I might do a little things.
Yeah, my aunt's is married with kids.
Yeah, and you know, it's very funny shit. It's just like, it's a... We have different styles.
Two different parts of your life, so it's like...
Totally, yeah. And like, you know...
And you've gained his fans. I mean, I shouldn't say like he gave you his fans. Like you've done...
No, you go do there, your job in front of them. In front of them, and they go, fuck, we want to follow him. And I find that it's a lot of the younger, you know, the younger people in the audience. So like, I love that. And it's like, that has been allowed me to go to these cities and like, you know, sell out a show. You know, if I do a one-nighter, I can definitely sell out.
What's it like to do in the Middle East with them?
I haven't done the Middle East with them. I did actually Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and Qatar, and I was out there doing some other shit on.
Now, when you do that, do you do bases or do you go out?
No, it's for real motherfuckers. It's like real Middle East.
Okay, because I've done stand up in those countries, but it's for the American troops.
We do it for ISIS, bro. It's
okay. You entertain the enemy. Well, I mean, yeah, everyone needs it too. That's fun.
No, it's just like Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and Qatar.
Mm-hmm.
They're like just Middle Eastern people that like have a comedy scene, and it's very in its infancy there. Like comedy, it's very much new. So like
now. Okay, like, because when I tell people I go to Salt Lake City and I do Wise Guys, like, oh, that must suck because of all the Mormons. And I say, no, it's awesome because you get the rebel Mormons and you get the people that really want to laugh, that are starved for comedy. Is it like that when you go over to the Middle East as well?
Well, I'll tell you, the one big difference, I think, is because, like, if you go to Salt Lake City, you know, you're able to say whatever you want because you're in the States.
Right.
You have the freedom of speech to do that.
But
when you go there... As much as you have the rebels, like I have people commenting on my thing, like, oh, I'd love to see you like uncut or like, you know, raw or like whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like they'll comment because they know when we go there. And that's the one big issue that I had with going to perform in the Middle East was that they censor you there.
Yeah.
And for us as artists, and I've made this analogy before, I go, we're artists. Like, dude, you're telling me not to paint with all the colors.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And like the picture's not going to be that dope if I can't use all the colors that I want to use.
Yeah, dude.
Right.
You know,
especially when I'm good with those colors.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, let me do what I do. But that's why some of the big acts I found don't go. They're like, I think Chris Rock is a guy that they mentioned was like, yeah, he won't perform here because they say you can't say this, you can't do that. Ugh. And what do you can't tell Chris Rock fucking
right.
You can't
that's
say
like, hey,
that.
MJ, dude, you can play in the finals, just don't fucking dunk.
Yeah, totally. And for us, it's like, dude, that's immediately when you get there, you want to talk about what's happening, like what the fuck people are wearing, what they're
it's
doing.
One of the best parts about
and
doing
they go,
what we
do. You can't say that. You can't say this. Ugh. You got some the secret police or this what do they call them? Fuck,
ISIS.
You're an asshole.
Sorry.
No, but they got like people at the shows watching, yeah. Dude. And then
no
like,
kidding.
And then
to do like, what if you like cross the line?
No, yeah. Cross the line, and I, by the like fourth or you know fourth show or whatever, I figured out like how you know to skate it, you know, like pretty well. But in the beginning, I was like, oh, it was my first time there, and I didn't want to ruin it for the promoters of
yeah,
the shows.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to be the asshole to go out there and go fuck this shit, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
And so you kind of like you know you keep it PG or you know as much as you can.
You have to cater to
the
yeah.
You
a
skate
bit.
The line a little bit, and then by the fourth show, I was like, okay. And I did say the piece about it. I was like, I can't wait to come back in like 10 years, 15 years when you guys are on board and you know what it is, and you guys let us do what we want to do because we're. And
wow.
I made that same analogy. I go,
that's
yo,
kind of calling him out on it.
I totally did. I was like, dude, because that's we're fucking performers, artists, entertainers like that. We want to be able to do what we do, like.
Mm-hmm. And you want selfishly for them to be able to get the best, and it's like think about.
And I can't. And honestly, like, and it's not like I need to fucking. You know, I need to say motherfucker to be my best, but it's like some of the stuff that I say might be against what they want to,
yeah,
or what's allowed, you know, anything political, anything.
Do you get to party with like princes out there, like the way,
I mean, the accommodations are pretty ridiculous that they put you up in. I mean, it depends on what kind of
sure,
like Qatar. What's it like in Qatar?
Qatar was cool. Actually, Dubai and Abu Dhabi were probably...
A lot of money there.
Oh, dude, I mean...
I mean, there's a reason why that song's called Arab Money. Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
Dude, they have vending... They have in the Emirates Palace where we were staying for the Abu Dhabi shows, they have vending machines that dispense gold. And it's just like a status.
I thought you were going to say
like,
women.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that too.
That too. Yeah, just... Oh, I feel like that's
it. Let me get a Kit Kat and some ass pussy.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, Crank was there doing some shows. He was in the belly room of the Emirates Palace.
It's just another world, and I only got to be on the bases and fly over. The only thing that I got to do was in Dubai. There's a water park called Wild Wadi.
Yeah,
and
oh, that sounds
Adam.
Awesome.
This is your dream, okay? You know how like some water parks will
you
have
get fucked by 10 dudes.
10 dudes.
Wait a minute, no,
10.
Oh wait.
Not eight that you're used to. 10.
I thought you were going
to
say they have a water slide where you slide down a Pop-Tart, and then Never Ending Story is playing on the background.
Well, I mean, you've obviously, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But like most water parks will have the lazy river, and you just kind of sit in a tube and you float around in a circle. That's Wild Wadi, only then in the lazy river, there's actual uphill streams that like shoot you up. And then you go to the top of the water slide, and then you fall down. So there's no lines.
Yeah, yeah.
You're never in lines. You're constantly just in your tube. It's fat person's heaven.
That's so cool.
Because you never have to stand up. You never leave the water. You never have – I mean, they have people in the lazy river serving you drinks, and I guess you just piss in the lazy river because no one gets up. It's amazing.
I don't know if this is true, but one of the guys – like the local Emirati there told me. He's like, mm-hmm. Dude, if you open up anything, which makes sense – they go, yo, the Middle East has such a bad rap that, like, Dubai says, or AUE in general, they say United Arab
Emirates.
Yeah,
yes.
UAE, I said AUE.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Livett's fucking killing it. So, yo, listen.
I don't think our listeners would have called you out on that.
Hey, it's UAE, asshole.
They don't even know what I'm talking about, bro.
Take the rest.
The whole thing?
Yep. Is there a place... What is Maz? What have you really gotten from like traveling with a guy like that, like a headliner?
Well, a lot of money, I'll tell you. I've learned a lot, dude, from him. Like he's so fucking, dude. I don't know why our temperaments are a little bit different. You know, like he's so like he's so good with handling. Like I have a low threshold for stupid people about some shit. You know, like hey,
you
I
do.
Don't know
yeah.
about this, that, and the other. You know me, dude. I kind of could turn on somebody. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, and you're not like, a total asshole. You just have no problem about like calling somebody out.
Yeah,
on
just
shit.
Going like, yo, what the fuck, man? Like, why are you? You know, I've learned a lot though. It's like
patience
at these shows, dude. Sometimes at these shows, and it's like they come to see Maz because he's like a fucking celebrity in our community. You know, it's like, dude, and they'll bring their like 80-year-old grandmother, and I'm over there like trying to think it's a fucking. Laugh Factory Saturday night, you know,
yeah.
Going like, why are you here if you don't like comedy? Early on, I thought it was that. And I go, and then I learned that like, yo, these people are just here, you know, just to fucking see Ma.
To be in the presence.
Yeah. Yeah, to be in the presence and just to say hi. And just.
And this is their big night out. This is the night that they're going to brag to their friends about.
Dude, they don't, yeah, take pictures and, like, you know, how many pictures, like, Ma's is, like, the profile pic of, like, you know, the dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's their thing. So I learned that, like, yo, it's not about, you know, just coming out and just, like, trying to, because I used to try to educate them, like, you guys don't know, like, what the fuck it is to be in a comedy club. And I realized, like, a lot of these people don't go to comedy clubs.
Right. They just, like, went out to see Maz.
Yeah, they're like, dude, they go once a year. And once a year is to see Maz. And so they don't, they've never seen Jim Jeffries. They've never seen, you know, Jim Norton. You know, like, they don't know what the fucking raw crazy shit is. And they don't know how to act in a comedy club because we don't really have it.
You know, a lot of stuff you're doing is you're introducing them to even style
so
of comedy. So, I mean, because you do a lot of what I love about your act is that you do, I mean, first of all, your point of view is just so strong on all your bits, but, like, your act outs, I love act outs in anybody's set, but especially when you can, like you said, when you start telling stories or mimicking early on, your voices are always so spot on for the story so that it's like it comes to life like 10 times more than it would if you were just telling it to somebody.
Right, right.
And that's so fun to watch. So, like, how do those people respond to that?
And I think that's one thing that's helped me is, like, when I do, like, if I do a character, like, oh, okay, because they can, like, be in the moment with me there. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, shit, we're there. So if I'm doing, you know, whatever character it is, and they're like, oh, okay, they can feel like, oh, I'm in that moment too. So then it just makes it a little bit more.
Like the spelling bee bit. How do they respond to that?
Dude, they love that bit.
That's one of my favorite bits of any of my friends.
They love that bit so much because it lets me incorporate so many different characters. And when it is a mixed audience, they're like, oh, cool. So it's a little bit for everybody, you know?
Now, did you set off from the beginning to do different characters, use different voices, or is just kind of how your comedic voice evolved?
No, that's what I was telling you. I think my strong suit is that and be stupid not to do those. I mean, I have jokes that don't incorporate voices, you know, and they do fucking just fine.
Yeah.
And I think I had Brian Moses one time. We did some show, like, where the fuck was Santa Barbara? And like, there was some shit like, oh, you do voices. And, like, you know, some guys like to talk shit or whatever. And I go, I don't give a fuck. I'm confident with myself. I'm fucking 33 years old, but I don't give a fuck. I can do
voices.
I can do, if you could do the voices I could do, you'd do them in your act, motherfucker.
No shit, dude.
Like,
yeah,
I do,
man.
Dope voices.
Like, listen, here's, I never get it when comics go from their high horse that they haven't shot yet.
That's a good callback.
Thank you, sir. And they just talk about, like, oh, man, that guy's a guitar comic.
If you talk shit on somebody, it's because you can't do that.
Right.
So don't talk shit on it. Let it be, and then you do you, and fucking you surpass that guy.
Yeah.
Let that speak for it. Don't fucking talk shit on the guy for doing what he does.
Yeah, talking shit isn't going to make you get more famous.
Dude, right. I don't like when people do that. You know, in our groups, like, you just fucking, like, if we're at a club, we might give our buddy shit. But that's not
But
you're just doing it right there in front of him.
Because it's your friend.
Yeah.
And here's the bottom line. Is a guy doing voices on stage and a guy playing the guitar and a guy who's got props, is the audience entertained?
Right.
Yes? There. You win. Your argument is over. Because the audience, that's what our job is to entertain the crowd. So as long as you do that, who the fuck cares?
Also, is that guy doing his prop act stopping you from writing better bits?
Yeah. And not even
if so, if his prop act is like everything brings up shit about like your act and like maybe he met some fucking wizard that like was like, if you use the fucking bowling ball prop, then Amir will not be able to talk about his family hilariously. Yeah, you know, if that's the case, then yeah, all right, then let's actually talk about that.
Yeah, talking about that wizard. Holy shit.
That's my wizard voice. I do voices too, motherfucker.
Yo, you guys gotta check out his voiceover reel. That shit blew me away.
Oh, did I say it? Oh, I did when you were trying to get
Motherfucker. I was like, whoa, bro. Yeah, a lot of high tech shit.
Like 50 different voices. And
dude, it's very, I mean, and it's funny because, you know, when you said, like, if it is. Fuck.
And all the liquor just hit Amir in one moment.
I'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to take a throw-up break.
Awesome.
I'm Danny Glover. Anytime you're looking for a gun to take out a horse with, go for the big old Super Soaker from Rite Aid. It's a water gun, but it's also a BB gun. It's the new Danny Glover water BB gun. We shoot water BBs. You can play it in the summertime, or you can use it in the fall. Just any time of the year, really. Anyway, it's a multi-purpose gun. You can also put milk in it and shoot chocolate milk in your friend's mouth. Because, you know, sometimes you don't have a cup and he still wants chocolate milk. Anyway, $7.99, your local Rite Aid. I'm Danny Glover.
We back from this commercial.
Amir, do you have your do you have your wits about you now? It's fucking contagious, dude.
So what I was saying is when you said like whatever you're doing up there, if it's funny, and you, know, and you say that as a comedian, you say that as like not like being a hack, like you know, sure. the fucking hack guys who go up there and like they can make an audience laugh, but it's like, dude, I do. Like original characters that I know if I saw somebody doing my original character, I'd be like, yo, you're fucking ripping me off. So like, nobody can do what I do.
Right.
Because it's a story about my, you know, whoever I dealt with in my life. And you can't do that. So that's why I like that. That's, I think, makes it personal. Like I said.
Yeah. In the same way I tell stories about what happens in my life as a little person, if I saw a 5'8" guy go on stage, be like,
doing your bits, you'd be like,
hey, yeah, and that's what's honest for you. It's to go on stage, have fun, do those voices, do the characters, and if you didn't do that,
no, I mean I do. I have jokes like Adam knows. I got tons of bits.
I've seen your act, dude. You're fucking great.
Thanks,
I
man.
Love it.
This is getting weird.
I mean, I'm trying to play footsie with you under the table, but you're sitting too damn far away, Mayor.
Yeah, hey, reach! I'm reaching.
Okay.
No, but what I'm saying is like those bits are. I love doing them too, but I know my strong suit is the character stuff, and they're original characters. Mm-hmm. And like I'm doing like, hey, this is my impression of Christopher Walken doing, you know, like whatever. But it's like those
coming through the stage as an Iranian 5-year old.
Hi, guys.
What would that sound like?
You guys ever play pick up sticks? I don't know, man. Fuck you, Adam.
Dude, you guys ever play pick up
sticks? I can't believe I like fucking. I was like, yeah, let me do this.
I know, because you're a great dance. Because you're a buddy.
Yeah, he goes, dance, motherfucker. And I go, sure.
Hey, man. Well, the gun levitt, it makes you do it. Wow. Well, so is it weird to go from doing really playful, fun stuff like that to doing the pyramid?
Oh, dun, wow. Dun, you dun. Fucking dropped that on
Yo, Amir, wow. That trailer looks so dope.
I'm a movie star, guys. I don't know what to say.
Dude.
It was really cool, and it was like, and I think, you know, I shot it like 2 years ago.
Yeah,
dude.
Man.
So it was a while ago. So yeah. Like, I kind of like.
I thought you were making it up.
No, and this shit, in this town, like, you just get stuff, and then you just kind of like.
You don't know if
like,
it's coming out.
I don't like to tell, like, you don't like to tell people about
you're smart.
It. And then, you know, it's like, whatever. You don't know what happens.
Things
like,
get cut. Or dude, I was waiting when I was watching The Heat to be like,
no, I remember,
they're going to superimpose somebody else's face on my body.
And you just think of all the worst case scenarios. I'm like, I'm one of the leads, but I'm like, I'm thinking they're going to cut me out. Like,
yeah. Find a way. Even though you're like, I'm integral to the story, but like, they'll find, they could, like,
dude, and that's what your brain is, especially as a comic. You're and, like, insecure about some shit.
Right.
Like,
and the sad part, and the sad part is the reason why a lot of comics and a lot of people in show business in general are waiting for the bad thing to happen is because all too often the bad thing does happen. I mean, we've all had the stories where we think we have a part. We think we have a movie, a TV show, whatever. We tell all our friends, and all of a sudden, nope.
Boom, yeah. Ted Danson books it.
Yeah. Ah, fucking Ted Danson.
So where did you shoot it?
It was in Morocco. I was in Morocco
Fuck,
for like
right.
no shit.
Yeah, it was so cool, dude. I remember I was doing like some showcase, and Josh Adam Myers was there, and I go, dude, I'm going doing this thing. I didn't even know. Like, I didn't know how cool, like, you know.
Yeah. He was like, I'm going to go to Morocco and do this thing.
Yeah, and then I was like, dude, it's this thing. And I told Josh, and I was like, it's and he's a huge fan of the director, you know, like the guys that do and the producers that do this these movies. And it's the guys that did Hills Have Eyes, and you made a reference earlier.
Oh shit!
Like,
oh wow!
But it's like those.
We'll edit that part out.
Yeah, edit that out for this to make sense. And he was like, "That's so cool," and I was like, "Ah, oh, I don't know." You know, I honestly didn't realize like how cool the experience would be.
It's like, I get to work,
dude, and it was so amazing because like, you know, we do stand up and I love that, but like this was totally like non funny, like just a serious.
And it's about you and
We're archaeologists. Yeah, we're archaeological group, and we go out, and I'm the love interest of Ashley Henshaw, who's the lead in the movie.
Well done.
And Dennis O'Hara, who's amazing, dude.
Yeah, you've seen him in everything.
Yeah, he's Dallas Byers. Like, this guy's amazing. Dude.
Yeah,
American
the proposal.
Horror Story.
Everything. He was in The Proposal.
Sure, man.
He was.
I gotta take a piss.
It's a great man.
Dennis, I'm sorry.
Yeah, let me go pee in it first, the shot.
No, so, it was so amazing to be on set with them. And, you know, the Argo thing was like my very first thing ever to get, you know? And I was like, wow, that's cool to get. And I was on set for a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be on set for like a month and see how shit works is like, you know, for us, it's priceless. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially to be surrounded by such professionals that go, oh, okay, these guys are obviously here because they know what they're doing.
Totally.
And then you can sit and watch them and learn. Because, I mean, we've all done the cheesy independent films that your friend makes.
Yeah, and you've done that. But then to be on an actual set and, like, learning from them and watching.
And to be one of the main players.
Dude, it was so cool. And it was, like, you know, one of those situations where you just watch and you, like, take everything in. Like, you know, like the early days of comedy. Like, you sit there and you just sit and listen to all the old cats talk.
When does the movie come out?
It comes out December 5th.
Fuck yeah,
dude. You're in a holiday blockbuster, man.
Yeah, it's gonna be
wide release, right?
Yeah, wide release.
I'm here, fucking dude. Come on, man.
Yeah, I can't. Like, it's so funny.
You're staying very neutral.
You get so jaded by this town, like of like rejection. Yeah. You just don't want to.
On to the next thing, dude. 1,000%.
Yeah, just let it not. And I don't want to shit on. Like, the project was awesome. Like, I'm not gonna say it wasn't.
When you get it, you go, I'm gonna go have a great time and soak up the experience, and then come back.
But
we're working. Act like it didn't even happen.
Yeah, we're working to go. You know, fucking.
Yeah, we want to. That's, you're gonna look back after you've done like 10 more movies, and you're gonna be like, man, I remember when I got that first one. I was like,
and that's why I love like having that, dude. Even like our shit in Montana, like we're gonna be doing tons of stuff.
But look at already like what we've done since then, dude.
Yeah, we can't tell a fucking crank story. Right?
You were massaging my fucking tits.
Like a year after
I was
that,
about to take a piss shot.
That, me and you could have done a comedy duo on the crank stories and killed it. Now we're like over here going, and then did he say that?
Well, it's just like stand up. You got to keep doing a repetition. Polish that shit up, boys.
Yeah. That bit was done.
Making it. Like right now, it's a loose 12. Make it a tight 5, and you're good.
Well, Amir, you're one of my best buds. You're one of the funniest motherfuckers I know, and it's so dope that we're here talking about this shit. In retrospect to what we talked about earlier. All right, on Twitter at Amir Comedy. I want you to say it.
At Amir Comedy.
Say it in one of your funny voices.
Yeah, fuck you. Fuck everybody.
The movie comes out December 5th. The Pyramid. Your website is.
AmirComedy.com. Yeah, it's all the same.
And you got tons of tour dates on there. You headlining, and then you with Maz.
Totally. Yeah, I got my own dates, and then I got the dates with Maz too that I'm finishing out, and then those will be come to us.
That's how we close it.
I don't know, man.
Show. That's the show.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.